Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Just a quick note that this episode contains depictions of stalking, harassment, and home invasion, so please make sure you listen with care. Let's say you were single, Tom.
Okay.
And you had gone out on a date with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't bad,
Okay.
But you're not really feeling it. But then they text to say that they were super feeling it and really looking forward to next time.
Okay.
You see them. How would you let them down?
So it's a one-way street scenario, this one. It's hard letting anyone down, right? Or you feel like, in this particular scenario, you feel like you're letting them down. But it's dating, right? You have to be kind of more scientific and analytical about it, right? If I don't let this person down and I keep going on dates, dragging it out longer and longer,
yeah,
that's just more time for them to get deeper in their feelings and emotions. And you're just wasting your own time by going on date after date after date, dragging it out. How do you do it?
Yeah.
Try and be nice.
Yeah.
Try and be kind.
Yeah.
You don't have to be mean. You don't have to bring negativity into it. But I think you have to arrive to that position of, this isn't going to work. I have to be an adult,
mm-hmm,
and use some communication and bring it to an end, right?
Yeah.
So it's hard to do, but do it.
But and the reason I'm asking is we had a question in our Ghosts of Boyfriends Past Group therapy group, and if you have not already joined that and you want to be part of the conversation, please do. And somebody asked exactly that question. It said, I went on a date recently with a nice guy, but I don't think it was right for me, but I think he feels it was good and wants another date. How do I say I don't feel the same way? Now, my knee-jerk reaction was to just say exactly what you said there.
Yeah.
But then I realized that I think it might be a little bit different for women and men.
Sure. Yeah.
Answering this question. And the story that I am going to bring, because today, instead of a guest for our main episode, I'm going to bring a story that I have found online. It shocked me. We're going to bring Zane, producer Zane C. Weber, on mic.
Oh no, I get to prevaricate again.
Yes. So we're gonna talk about a story that might kind of give some color to why you need take pause about the way that you let.
No, I like it, but ultimately down. You're not in charge or responsible for how someone else is ultimately going to feel. And
I agree. And look, my heart would just say something along the lines of, thank you so much. I had a really lovely time, but I don't feel that we're right as a couple, but I wish you the best in your future dating endeavors.
It's 2023. We're in a post-truth era. So you can spin it however you want. You can
say, there are a lot of people who feel like they have to lie.
You can embellish. You can say having the chance to get to know you was interesting and fun, but ultimately you and I aren't going to work out. You can soften the blow a little bit, I think.
There were people in the feed on our group who were saying something similar happened to me, and I felt like I have to think up this big lie now. And I was like, why? And then I discovered why.
Yeah, now you have potential reasons for why.
I think, look, you have to, in these cases, you just have to tell them in the exact same way that you would like to be told.
Yeah.
That's what you have to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm so worried about what you're about to say, but yeah, like you just have to be nice. Especially if they said, hey, I really enjoyed the first date, looking forward to the next one, I felt we really vibed. You reply back going like, oh, unfortunately, I didn't feel the vibes. I don't think we're going to have a second date. Thank you very much for the first one.
The very, very fair and valid. Do you think the average punter, the average person wandering around this planet knows how they want to be broken up with, knows how they want to be receive good bad news. You like ask yourself how
self-aware non-narcissists do.
Yeah, but
who would ever break up with a narcissist? How dare you?
Maybe it's just me that has imaginary conversations with every person that I've ever met in my head compulsively.
No, I do that too. I have to actually have every version of the conversation that I think that could happen, so that
how
when
else
happens,
are you meant to know what
I'm
to
prepared.
Say?
It's improvised, like lads and lasses. It's
this is why I am an actor. I'm not an improviser.
You just need your little scripts there. Well, it's a fascinating conversation. Let's explore it more as we unpack this here story that you've brought us. It's Ghost of Boyfriends Past, everybody. It's a main episode. Tom Harris, Elizabeth Best, and Zane C. Weber, our trusty producer, joins us on mic.
And I actually had someone write in and say, I really love it when Zane gets on mic. I really love his advice.
I feel like I'm the dad and you're the cool teenagers. And I come in and go, okay, kids, here's how it should be done.
And then we feel chastised and go, excuse me, you're doubting our expertise. We know everything and you know nothing, Dad. Get out of my room.
I initially didn't like Zane coming on the microphone because you're so articulate and intelligent.
Like, what are we here for?
And warm and thoughtful. You can run this podcast by yourself. But now I'm like, yes, Zane's on. I don't have to know. I don't have to be. I can just be, yeah, as you said, a sort of wild child.
All right. Look, you all get there at the end.
Fine, I'll take it.
We're having words off
just
mic, Zane.
Every episode that I don't come on mic is because you're already doing the right thing. Mm. So there's so many more
so
of those.
So when you pull the mic down, we have to be like, uh-oh, yeah, we're in trouble.
Usually it's just like, oh, there's this other little thing that we haven't really touched on that I think maybe we should put
it
in there.
Yeah. But yeah, I know we're not being in trouble when you do that. Now, I'm going to warn you.
Okay.
This story is rough. It's very rough. We will put a warning at the start of this episode, so you will have already heard that warning by the time this episode begins. But I don't want to quite say that yet because I don't want to spoil it because it's a horrible thing to spring on someone, but I'm just going to let you know it's a tough ep.
Mm. Okay.
Okay, everyone.
All right. So I came across a TikTok, and I will put the TikTok creator in the show notes. That said, what is an important decision that you made that changed the entire trajectory of your life? Mm. And then it splits to this story, which I then recorded, transcribed, because it was a long one, and I'm going to read out for you
please,
today.
And we thank you for your work.
When I was 22, I agreed to go on a date with someone. And after the second date, I decided that I wasn't really feeling it. I let him know that I wasn't really feeling it and I had a lot of other stuff going on right now. And he said, yeah, that's okay. I got stuff going on too. And I thought everything was fine until about a month and a half later when he decided that everything was not fine. He starts messaging me hundreds of times a day, telling me that he's changed his mind, that I had, quote, pissed in his Cheerios and that he was a good man and deserved a chance.
Okay. The timeline.
Yeah, six
one
weeks.
One date or two dates?
Two dates.
Two
and
dates.
This is a month and a half after he said it was
month
cool.
And a half.
So he's just been stewing, clearly, for that month and a half.
He's horny, probably. He's probably...
I feel like he had other irons in the fire.
Yes, yeah, that's what I'm...
They blew up spectacularly in that month
right?
and a half. And now he's blaming the person that he went on this one on two dates with and wants to... basically exert control.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
you
fair.
Might,
narrative.
You might that's not have hit assertion. The bullseye there, Zane, but you're on the dartboard, I suspect, in this kind of arena. But yes, we'll see how
but let's unfolds. Just let's just get out there just like, no, none of this. Can go like, oh, I really regret that. And if you're really feeling that and you really need it to be said, you can say that once.
Yeah, and I would say hit the dump then button, but she kind of already did and it didn't take.
Yeah.
So
at this point, you block.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah, as soon as there's more than 20 texts in a day that go unresponded to, block.
At first, I blew it off and I was kind of annoyed, like, who do you think you are? But then it started to get really scary really quickly when he started sending me pictures of the outside of my house.
Okay.
Telling me that he was planning a raid and that he deserved a chance because he was a good man.
Oh, sure. Sure.
What good man?
Sure.
Plans raids.
Look, I'm going to
sends
burn
you
down
photos
your
of your own house and says, give me a chance because I'm already right outside your
Liz,
house.
He's a good guy. Okay. he said so himself. He's a good guy. If you don't got to go on a date with me, I'm burning down your property, but I'm a good guy.
Yeah. So here's where I would be scared about blocking at this stage, because he knows where you live. So you no longer have the option of blocking. And this is one reason why I always recommend, when you are going on dates with people, to meet somewhere that is not your house when you don't know them. Now, they might be able to track you down because social media is scary, but at least protect yourself there. Mm-hmm. Don't let someone know your address until you know who they are. Yeah,
fair.
A detail that may or may not be important here as well is what age are they?
22.
She is 22. I don't know what age he was.
This is kind of just post college, university.
Mm.
So I was wondering if, like, is he meaning it? Like, and obviously it shouldn't be interpreted this way, and it would never be, unless you're totally out of your brain, like a panty raid, or like, yeah, I'm going to breach your house.
No, I think it's
Yeah.
I think it's a breach.
Okay.
I think it's a breach. I don't think it's a fun frat boy.
Yeah.
Fun. I say fun in quote marks.
Well, that's the mean. Is it a difference of interpretation? Which,
I mean,
it's really trying to like find maybe you're not in danger right now.
Yes, if you said, I'm at your house and I'm going to do a raid, but no, when you have the picture of the outside of her house, that's when the line's crossed, I reckon.
Oh,
the line is so far back now.
The line is a month and a half ago.
But I feel like it can't be not creepy if someone sends you a photo of the outside of your house and you don't know they're there.
Really what I'm trying to justify is not getting the police involved right away.
Okay, so here we go.
Yeah.
Here we go. So this went on for like a month. I would wake up to dozens of phone calls, and I started filing police reports.
Good. Okay.
He would then take photos of me filing the police reports and tell me that it was a stupid idea and that a restraining order was just a piece of paper. He would then take pictures of me talking to the police whenever they came around and I called them. And then the police weren't able to find him, and he'd be like, oh, all they would have had to do was look up and see me.
Okay. So I think this has stopped being a dating question.
So this is not a question as so much as a story now. But what I wanted to do, I guess, by opening with the question that we opened with, was highlight why people are afraid to tell the truth sometimes people, like women mostly. I can't speak from a man's perspective, but women I know personally get quite anxious about a way to turn a man down, because things can get real scary if you don't say exactly the right thing.
Absolutely. Quickly, a restraining order is more than just a state of mind or whatever he said. It may be to you, Chappie, but there's a whole set of legal
some context that I haven't put in before is that this is in the US.
Yeah. So it's not, I mean, a restraining order is not a crossbow. It's not a booby-trapped house, but it is something that the police can use to arrest you on the spot. So, let's continue.
He would talk to complete strangers about me, pretending to be my friend, so I wasn't able to trust anybody. He would get information out of my neighbors by pretending that he was my boyfriend and saying he was just really worried about me. After two dates, I eventually had to move out of my apartment because it turns out a restraining order is truly just a piece of paper. Mm-hmm. And the funny thing about restraining orders that nobody tells you is that they actually have to serve the person in order for it to even matter. So in person, they have to hand it to you. So he would just ignore the process server whenever they would come to his door, laugh at the note that they would leave on his door, and send me pictures of the notes that the process servers would leave on my door saying, please contact me.
Mm. Again, that's the difference between the Australian and the American system. And frustrating and angry making.
Yeah. So basically, if you ignore a process server, you don't get a restraining order.
Yeah.
It eventually got so bad that I stopped sleeping, because he would tell me that he was outside, that he was planning a raid, and that he was going to bring multiple people, kick down my door, and that was going to be the end of it. At this stage, I went to the police probably 5, maybe 10 times. I filed 10 police reports, and they were like, there's nothing we can do. There's nothing we can do. He hasn't hurt you, despite the fact that he was threatening to hurt me. So that's one thing that I think is a whole heap of bullshit. Mm. And I'm not sure exactly what the laws are like in Australia compared to America, but the fact that they can't do anything unless the hurt has already occurred seems really fucked up to me.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the law is like there either. But if, at the very least, this is harassment.
Yeah.
So there's laws being broken, at least in Australia.
I think this kind of thing happens a lot in particularly probably America more than here in Australia or England, but I'm not saying it doesn't happen here, but just a reluctance to take victims or victims of crime seriously, or like potential runaway or potential kidnapping cases, domestic violence cases. There's a whole lot of, well, until you're dead or, you know, something terrible has happened, we can't do anything. So it's this.
But this is another reason why I also think there need to be structures that aren't the police set up to deal with kind of 100%. Stuff as well.
Totally.
Like, I'm going to go on a tangent for a second. A friend of mine was assaulted in a taxi, basically. He was being really creepy. He touched her leg. She went into the police station. They basically laughed her out of the police station, saying, he didn't hurt you. One of them actually said, well, maybe some people would do that to pay their fare. So he hasn't actually done anything wrong. So we can't do anything. She walked out of the police station in tears.
Well, like, can I touch you against your consent, police officer?
Exactly. Like they are not, they're equipped to deal with situations where people are having, you know, like guns or robberies. They're not equipped to deal with sexual assault or harassment in this manner. Yeah. I don't believe at all. I wasn't able to keep a job at this time. I would literally call this the year of the jobs because I had so many jobs, it's not even funny. Because I would do things like not being able to sleep at all. So on one of these jobs, I fell asleep standing up on the first day. Because I was pretty much always awake, knowing that he was going to come for me. But eventually, I was able to move again. And I ended up getting a letter and a text message from my previous landlord telling me that they found holes in my last apartment and that I needed to go over the itemized receipt of the charges. So then...
What does holes mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I went... Like, and this is A+ work on her part because I would not think to do this, but I went to have a look up the link of this message that I got, and it was an IP address grabber. So basically she found out he was pretending to be the landlord woman at my apartment, trying to figure out where her new house was.
Right.
And trying to get the address by pretending to be the landlord.
So it's scary. It's fucking scary.
He would send me empty packages to my old house and would put the address on the package, do not forward, address correction requested, because he was hoping that someone in the building would go ahead and send him my new address instead of forwarding the package. He found me on every form of social media, and every time he found me, I would just delete it. So I became extremely isolated from everyone that I knew. I could not trust anyone to not accidentally give him information because he might be pretending to be somebody else. After I moved, I did feel safer because at least he didn't know where I was. I finally got a detective assigned to my case because he had started letting me know that he was going to kill me and that he was going to get away with it. He specifically told me that he knew he was going to get away with it because he was a white man and I was a black woman and he would get away with anything.
Okay. That puts another whole layer on top of this.
Yeah, doesn't it?
Oh, that's rough. Yep. Okay.
Yep.
Good.
You're dealing with a whole grapple of emotions there, Zane.
Well, no, it's really just like it's
scary.
Speaking
it's
from
scary.
The privilege of being a big white guy who is scary when angry. But again, like that's me and that's not everyone is capable of doing that. And might not be effective and would probably provoke this situation. So
that's right.
And look, the best part about this not being a guest in the room is that we can threaten on mic. I don't care about that rule today. So feel free. So she's finally had a detective assigned to her case.
Good.
When I met with the detective, he told me that there was probably a misunderstanding because he'd had a conversation with this guy and he seemed like a nice guy. I'm sorry. Like, I'm laughing because I want to throw a chair against a wall. Yeah.
It's laughably poor because you're a police officer, right? And your job is to generally investigate crimes and all sorts. And you interview someone and you believe they're what you just believe them.
Assigning a male.
Yes, as well. Yeah. Fuck me.
To that case. No.
I can see the logic behind doing it, especially if that detective is going to talk to this guy. But in this situation, there is documented evidence of trying to get restraining orders or getting restraining orders, and that has followed up to this point. And that's exactly why you do that, so that if anything does happen, there is a police record of harassment that you can call on to basically prove your case that this is not just an isolated event, it's premeditated. This is angry.
This gave me feelings of the episode that we had Lucy on when she was telling us of the horrific abuse that she was suffering at the hands of her then husband, and the police came and was buddy-buddy and arrested her after she was the victim in that situation. I was furious. Anyway, the detective said he seemed like a nice guy, and I knew in that moment that this man was going to kill me and he was going to get away from it. I was literally going to be a Facebook memorial. I was going to be on someone's T-shirt because he knew what he could do. He knew exactly what he could get away with, and he knew exactly what to say to have people let him get away with it. So I started blocking phone numbers, and then he would just download apps and get new phone numbers. So it didn't really matter. It was okay though at that point, because I still felt a little bit safe because at least he didn't know where I was.
Yep.
Mm.
And then I registered to vote. And in America, when you register to vote, your address is then public record. So he found me. I grew up in Southern California. I grew up very anti-firearm because my dad was paralyzed from the chest down for months. A couple of months before I was born. Just a couple of months before I was born. And it's the way that it's transcribed here. It's not done a great job. It says, and he and my mum were both shot just sitting in a car, minding their own business and some random initiation type of thing. So I am very anti-firearm. But it got to the point where I was like, holy shit, no one is coming to save me. Like, I am a law-abiding citizen. I am doing everything that I am supposed to be doing. Yeah. And these people keep telling me that there is nothing they can do unless he hurts me.
Yeah. You need... Get a gun.
Yes.
Yep. Get several guns.
The United States of America is very au fait with stand your ground laws, the castle doctrine, and the two-way, the right to bear arms. But also
she's black.
Oh, yes.
And has a firearm. Yes.
Do not. Yes,
yeah,
you're right.
I know. But
fucking terrifying. Like, the cops would probably show up and be like, stand down, man. Bang.
After they've killed the neighbors, of course.
Yep. Yep.
But at this point, like, what? Every other avenue has been blocked off.
Yep.
So there is, when you're feeling that powerless, you take anything you can get.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I'm anti-gun as well, but if I was in this situation, I would have done this a lot earlier.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. Probably. Yeah. At 22?
At 22, even faster than now.
that's right.
not that I was more reckless then, but I didn't have as much control over my own life then.
Right.
So I would have been driven to that point earlier, I think, when I was younger.
Okay. So at this point, he started to get really frustrated that he was not able to reach me, and he started to let me know that, hey, I needed to meet him at a certain place when he was going to start making good on his plan. And by this time, there wasn't too many ways that he could get in contact with me. It got down to the point where he found me on Duolingo and then started messaging me on there. This is after two dates.
I had zero idea that you could use
apparently Duolingo. You can find people on Duolingo.
Okay, I know that you can find people and search for people on Duolingo. Chat. I didn't know that you could send messages to them.
Yeah, apparently.
You've got to do it in French, though. You have to do it in the language.
Otherwise, the owl will stare you down.
Right. Oh, dear.
Blah, blah, blah. And started messaging with him. And eventually, he did find out where my new location was. I don't know how. He took pictures of my place and then created an account and made me go look at it to prove, like, hey, I know where you live now. And I'm about to make good on my plan because I don't have too many ways to contact you anymore. I'm just, like, that's fucking horrifying.
Just quietly horrified, yes, yep. At this table, yeah, wow.
And so she says, and so I had to swallow the distaste that I had for firearms because I hated them. I felt like they took my father's legs away. They took my child away. I was never going to have a father-daughter dance. I was never going to have any of these things because of somebody's decision. I felt like people who owned firearms were irrational people who couldn't hold conversations and couldn't de-escalate situations. And I had to make the decision to buy a gun. Now, I don't want to advocate to buying guns. I don't want to advocate for anyone to purchasing them. I resent the fact that I had to, hashtag America. Mm. I don't want any far-right group from here to use me as an example as why people should own firearms, because they shouldn't. We should just have better laws to actually protect people.
But see, this is exactly the reason. This is a great example of why guns should be harder to come by.
Yep.
Because these people exist and feel like they are empowered to do these things because they could just overpower you.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And then she says, but I digress. Okay, so we're about 7 months in now after 2 dates. I knew him for 3 weeks as a person. 3 weeks and now 7 months. He has been my stalker for 7 months. He sent his last message demanding that I meet him at Caesar's Palace in Vegas because it was his birthday. And that was it. Now, I'm going to say this next bit is gross. I'm sorry. Skip forward about 10 seconds. He told me that if he didn't, he was going to meet me, find me, and use my blood as lube. And I gave all of these messages to the police. And still, they said, we can't do anything.
At this point, I'm selling the gun. I'm hiring some guys to go to Caesar's Palace on that day, and find him. And then, well, I didn't do it.
I had nothing to do with anything. And then she gets done for conspiracy to commit murder. And she's like, but I didn't hurt anybody. Yeah. And you said you couldn't arrest anybody if I didn't do it. Okay. Wow. So obviously she didn't go. He says he started showing up outside of my new house and just banging on the door and ringing the doorbell for a really long time. For years, I wasn't able to hear doorbells ringing because of how horrifying this sound was, just waiting. Ring, 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 ring. I would be recording him ringing my doorbell with the phone and then on the phone with the police at the same time, and he would still dodge the police. I have actual videos where he was walking and then I see him run in the opposite direction just as the police turn the corner, and they're like, oh, we couldn't find him.
It's frustrating
to listen to this story. Dear, I mean, look, I'm not a fan of cops to begin with.
We know this. We know this about you and we love you.
This story is not, it doesn't paint them in a kind light.
Nope.
And I wish I disbelieved it.
Yep.
Yeah. It makes sense.
I wish that you could be like, no, that would never happen. But yeah. I know at least 2 people it actually has happened to. So.
Yeah, and I think this is, it really is, it's an example of people's willingness to accept the path of least resistance, even when their job is literally not to accept the path of least resistance, but to actually put a stop to it.
Mm.
Yeah, it's frustrating.
Particularly when the Supreme Court in that nation judged that the police do not have to protect you. They don't have to.
That's just a slogan. That's not a directive.
So there is no
serve and protect our own butts is what's in brackets underneath that. Asses.
So yeah, when we discuss guns and sending people around to meet this guy and get tough with him, it sucks that these extreme measures have to be brought up in these situations. I don't know what a solution is. Clearly, different jurisdictions around the world, different nations, different countries will have completely different rules. So Google your own fucking rules.
The thing. I do have a non-violent strategy that I would have suggested to this person had I been their friend. I'm going to wait to see how this story pans out before we kind of discuss
that. We can chat it in lessons learned for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. At that point, I was like, holy shit, this man is actually going to murder me. This is actually going to happen. He showed up one more time and it was 6 o'clock in the morning. And then I didn't hear anything from him again. And there's like this horrifying thing when you're experiencing something where it's a daily barrage of this type of harassment to when it stops and you think that you would feel good about it. But I remember feeling like it was like sharks circling you in the water and then they disappear and you realize that you were comforted by the fact that you could see the sharks and now you can't see them. And I couldn't see him and I was terrified.
The eye of a storm. It's eerily quiet. It's too quiet. Mm-hmm. Yes.
He was quiet for another 2 weeks. I didn't hear anything after the near daily harassment for 9 months at this point. At this time, I had been so afraid that I very, very rarely slept. I knew that if he came for me, I couldn't be in the back room of my apartment. Like, I needed to be in the living room. And I was so afraid all the time that I started sleeping with a chair lodged against my door because if he came for me, then I needed a couple of seconds head start. I knew I needed time to slow him down. And then, in September, he came for me. He kicked down my door and I remember just grabbing my firearm off the table. And I wasn't angry. I wasn't upset. I had just made a decision that it was either him or me and I chose me and I shot him. And I remember him being like, oh, fuck, you shot me. And then he stopped. And then he disappeared. And I thought that I was going insane because I didn't see anything after that. I couldn't see anything after that. I just, everything went blank. And I called the police and I told them, hey, I just shot my stalker and I can't find him. And I was like, holy shit, I'm going to jail tonight. I just fired a gun in an apartment building. 30 minutes later, they showed up and they found him. And he was hiding in the bushes. The police dogs caught him. Normally, any time that the police came, he would just run from them. But he didn't recognize at that moment how hurt he was. Yeah, so all he could do was crawl off into the bushes. And I remember feeling so glad at that point that other people could see him, that I wasn't going crazy, that another human in this life had seen this man and what he had done. So long story short, he didn't die. He did go to jail.
Jail. It's a shame.
So I wonder if they took in all of the police reports and all that into account in his sentencing. Curious.
He said, but he was pretty jacked up. And I mean, I think that means hurt. Yeah. In the way that she's using it. I knew at that point that I needed my firearm to be an extension of myself. So I started working in a gun range and being part of Refuse to Be a Victim courses to help other women feel empowered to protect themselves. Also, long story short, I ended up getting heavy metals toxicity working in the gun range and it was not in a good headspace to go working there immediately after having that type of thing happen to me without fully had dealing with what happened. So I ended up leaving and then started working in a call center that was helping people. I think that was good. Like, I get the need to feel extremely empowered at that point in time. And I'm, you know, I don't advocate gun use, but
I think the problem with after something like that, the empowerment can quickly turn to toxicity.
Yes. And literally heavy metals toxicity at this point.
That's right.
Because, like, it's a horrible phrase, and I don't mean it in the way that idiots mean it. But not every guy is crazy stalker.
Yeah.
But you are right to fear that every guy is a crazy stalker because they exist.
This is the thing. This is like that meme I keep seeing with the people that keep getting upset with the not all men. Anyone who says not all men should be put into a pit with a bunch of snakes.
And one is venomous.
And one of them is venomous. Yeah, right. But not all of them. And let's see how afraid they are. I love it. So she's working at this call center and I ended up becoming a life coach, which ended up becoming a consultant, and it moved me across the country and I worked there for 5 or 6 years and it gave me a foothold then to be able to work for big tech, which afforded me the life that I have now. Right now, I am in Bali, eat, pray, loving my heart out, and I never would have had the bravery to live the life and do the things that I've done and have the experience that I had if I hadn't had to choose myself in that very, very crucial way. Most people never get put to the test of having to choose their life. And so now it was awful and I wish it had never happened, but I live my life in a way that I do because I have felt the darkness before and I understand that at any point in time someone could try and take that away from me. So I don't take it for granted and I never will again.
Gee. Well done. I mean, well done for pulling it around. But to... First thing that strikes me is, I forgot the age. It's a 22-year-old woman.
Yeah.
I couldn't deal with that now, and I'm a decade up further than that, and I'm a man, you know, I'm 6 foot. So what a, when you're so young and unsure about yourself still and your place in the world, and to have this maniac knocking on your door, I'm wondering.
After two dates?
Yes, that was I was going to
try and. I will say, sometimes it doesn't even take two dates. Sometimes it's a guy that serves you in the coffee shop.
And that'll do it, yeah.
Or that buys coffee from him in the coffee shop.
Yeah. I wonder, is this his only case of stalking? Is this the only person that he's
ever
stalked?
Well, one would presume yes, because of the fact that police kept making reports and there wasn't like, well, he's got a precedent for this.
I wonder,
with other people. Maybe she's just crazy.
You would hope, but still, even then, you're giving the police in this story a lot of credit. That
I should give
doesn't
them
sound
none.
Like... No.
Even the detective assigned to her case after he threatened to kill her said, I think it might have been a misunderstanding because I talked to him and he was a pretty nice guy.
Yeah.
I wonder.
Fuck that.
Man to man.
He did go to he did go to prison in this story.
Yes.
So I wonder what that trial was like, if they used all the police reports, I wonder if they had all that information.
So I have dropped a message to this person to ask, this is the thing, I decided to read it out because I dropped a message to them to ask if they could come on and I haven't been able to hear back yet and they put this into the public domain. But I'm still wanting to have a chat with her about... I guess what happened afterwards and her mental health and how she got back onto the path of being able to eat, pray, love herself in Bali, you know?
Yeah, and I think that she might be giving this guy a little bit too much credit for what she's achieved. Because
I thought that too.
I think, yes... This is kind of an inciting event where you had to make a big choice and it affected you and your outlook. But I think that a person who has that capability doesn't necessarily need to have their life threatened to achieve
potential. No, she had
potential.
That in her all the time.
And I think
it's
the impulse
that it came to
that. Reach out and help other people isn't everyone's impulse in this kind of situation either. So I think there's something to be said rather than going down the toxic route of gun ownership and vigilantism, which is where me and my fantasies went immediately.
Yeah.
You went out and you reached out to other people and helping people in need. And
I mean,
that's
she
what
tried the gun
on.
Ownership and vigilantism at the gun range first and then realised it's probably not a healthy environment to work out when you've not dealt with your
shit.
I
grew up on a farm. I knew how to use a gun safely. I'm not sure. I wouldn't pick one up now.
I wouldn't just use a gun now.
I think that's my strategy from the very start there would have, I think what I would have, if I was this girl's friend or coworker, I would have suggested, hey, make a community around yourself so you have people to protect you. He's trying to isolate you. Yeah. Play against that. Print flyers and hand them out to your neighbor saying, hey, this person is threatening me. Here is some of the texts that he's sending me. Here is some of the threats that he's making.
Do you know
if
what
you see
wouldn't
him,
surprise me, though, is that if all of a sudden she gets a process server turn up on her door for defamation.
Well, exactly right. Yeah, and that's the thing.
Isn't that
like,
gross?
I'm saying that from my privilege of big white guy who's can take a few steps towards provoking the situation.
Yeah.
But I think as soon as more people are kind of gathered around you and he has to deal with other people.
This shit thrives in the shadows.
Absolutely.
This is what we always say about abuse on this show is that abuse thrives in the shadows and the more people you can tell about it and the louder you can get about it, the less likely it is to be able to stay hidden for long.
When you're alone, whether that be physically alone or isolated, it's so much easier to inspire fear and all those horrible things that he's trying to do to you. But you're right.
But just imagine
if you can draw the curtains a bit more.
Sitting on your block, taking photos of your house, and he sees a group of three people that he doesn't know. walking along, stapling flyers with his face on it to telephone posts along your street, going, have you seen this man? He's currently stalking me. Please don't give any personal information that you wouldn't
have
like
to give. Chat to your neighbors and say he's stalking me. He may try and trick you, but please don't let him. And I guess the crucial thing that we don't hear about in this story is what kind of support network or friends this person had. So if they're in a position where they don't have family that can support them and they don't have a wide friendship group, that just makes it even worse. So that I would be going the flyers on the lampposts.
But yeah, and like obviously like he drove you away from work and things like that. But like again, now you know that there are groups of people out there that can help you. And I think that's really the message that we should leave with this is like, even if you have no single close friend or family member in the world, there are strangers out there who are willing to help you. Yeah. You just need to ask them. And like, that's the thing. If someone walked into my office and said, hey, this is happening to me, I wouldn't care who they were. I would dedicate a significant amount of my time and energy to making sure that they were safe.
100%. And there are also groups on Facebook I know that I joined a couple just for fun that are just like, you know, Brisbane friendship group for people over 30s kind of thing, just to kind of, well, to see if I could find guests for the podcast, really. But the amount of goodwill and generosity, like someone's
Liz, can you imagine if you told this story to one of the true crime fan Facebook groups, the amount of digital sleuthing that they would do to protect you?
Yeah.
Like that. I can't imagine.
No one will go harder.
Why didn't I think of that before?
No one will go harder on your behalf than a true crime Facebook sleuth group. They may go hard in the wrong direction, but they'll do it with passion.
Oh, yeah. So the lessons learned is probably a case of what Zane's saying, where the official channels sometimes are pathetic, like the police. Like sometimes they can, but
try the official channels as early as you need to. But if they fail, there are other ways.
Yeah. So and probably more than I realize, there's probably more groups dedicated to this than I think, with more names. So it's probably a case of hitting the internet in your local part of the world and seeing what's local to you. Unfortunately, there's not one global bureau that I can point you towards.
Yeah. Mm. Speak to anyone at your work that you think you can trust. Speak to anyone at college if there's like a guidance counselor or like a, you know, I don't know, like if you don't have a personal support network, there are strangers on the internet who will fiercely defend you as much as there are ones that will stalk you.
But you're absolutely right, Liz, off the top. We were lightheartedly saying, how do you say no to someone? And you're right. You try and do
thing.
That.
Like it seems like such an easy question, but also for, I guess, for some people it's a really touchy
thing. Do you think? It wasn't really addressed in the story, and there's no reason it needed to be. Do you think he was triggered by something she said, or was it just wrong place, wrong time, wrong
person?
I was
pondering this. Remember the man had a 6-week break before so something happened in
something,
that time.
He either was stewing over it, rocking back and forth in his own sad little lounge room about it, or like Zane said, he had a few irons in the fire, and when they all said no, he turned incel.
Or maybe he read a dating game book or something like that and got radicalized.
I'm a nice guy. I'll raid your house if you don't date me. I'm so nice. I'm going to raid your house.
Mm.
Yeah. I honestly think that there's nothing that she could have said wrong or right to provoke this. Like I honestly think that it's just if he didn't do it to her, he was going to do it to somebody else. Like that kind of obsessiveness does not go away, and that kind of stuff does often. And this is what shits me, right? Because I listen to so much true crime, and most of the murders that I hear about and that I talk about started off like this and no one did a fucking thing. And then all of a sudden Ted Bundy's happening and there are a bunch of women in the ground and people finally start giving a shit once people's entire lives have literally been destroyed.
Yeah. It's that's the thing. Like, I think when coming back to the initial question of like, how, what do you say? Anything you say to soften the blow of like, I'm not interested, I think can give them that skerrick of hope that keeps them coming back. So you're like, oh, look, it's just a really tough time for me. I'm really busy.
Mm.
6 weeks' time is like, oh, are you less busy now?
Or the, oh, what was that? No, it's gone. just my ADD brain has just gone. It was one of those things where
a common excuse.
Or people are saying like, "Oh, you're a really lovely guy, but you know, I'm too busy right now." Or you already said that one. No, what was the one I was thinking of? It was good. Nah, keep talking. It'll come back to me.
I don't know.
It's one of any excuse that isn't about them and you not being compatible is something that they can read as a, how about now?
Yeah. And I think it's just kind of like, hey, I'm not digging it. Sorry.
Yeah. I think you're great, but I don't feel like you're going to be great for me. Oh, that's the let's be friends one, because
never
someone suggested it in their group. Someone's like, oh, you know, let's be friends, I think we'd be good friends, or you know, I'm happy to catch up as friends. Never, unless they're already a friend,
you legitimately want to be their friend and nothing else.
Yes.
And you haven't kind of progressed very far down that romance route, and
and if you're very sure that person also has no feelings for you,
exactly. Yeah. So you have to be, there are very strict provisos there, like, and that's the thing, I have to say that I have to put those provisos in there, because the gay community, it is very common for a hookup to turn into a friendship.
I would love that to happen. That's like my ideal scenario.
So that's just because of like the limit of the market for both gay friends and gay lovers. So like those provisos are there, but again, It is more difficult as a woman, and specifically as a straight woman.
Yeah.
unfortunately,
sucks for us out there.
Unfortunately, there isn't one to answer the ultimate question off the top. There isn't one answer, like one neat answer that fits everyone. So probably a bit more brutality, I just think
it can be clinical in a kind way, right? Mm. Like that's always my philosophy, is that, you know, you say what you mean, so you don't say any of the wishy-washy let's be friends, or I don't have time, or I'm so busy right now, or I am not sure if I want a full-time relationship right now. You just say, I don't think that we're really compatible, but I did have a really great time. You seem really lovely, and best of luck with your dating endeavors in the future. Thank you so much.
Yeah, don't let them weasel either. And they're like, oh, I just really liked you as a friend. Could we hang out as friends? You're just like, not right now. If you still feel the same way in 6 months, let me know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Because clearly if they're trying to, you know, and then they'll be the one that's complaining about you friend zoning them when literally you didn't even want them in your life in the first place.
So, and if you're a nice, wholesome, nervous maybe person that you don't want to hurt people, being sort of cold can feel brutal, can feel mean.
But it doesn't even have to be cold. Clinical and kind is different from cold, but I think.
So you can be in the moment beating yourself up for, you feel like a horrible person, but no, it's okay. It's okay.
Look, honesty is nice. Yeah. Even if it's brutal and not what they want to hear, it's nice because you're not expecting that they have to be babied.
Yes.
It's like, this is the truth. I feel really bad saying this, but I'm not feeling the vibe. I'm feeling really uncomfortable about saying that, but I'm not feeling it. It's really kind of gross situation, so I'm really sorry.
Yeah, so some of you
can be sorry and not feel
it. You can lean into how awkward and weird it is. Like, that's what I tend to do with my whole life.
So some of you, dear readers at home, may need to, that may be an area of your life that you need to work on. How to be heard, sort of.
I want to know how readers at home have let people down, and whether it's gone well. Like, I want to hear the best time that it happened where you just felt really good about the situation, and I want to hear stories about when it's gone not so well, and either what you would have done differently or what happened in that situation, and what others can learn from it.
Or if you've ever felt like the bad guy, even though, if you've ever felt that feeling of being the bad person, even though you're
Tom,
not
I feel
doing
that feeling on a daily basis
in rejecting someone. So yes, please send us a note at ghostofboyfriendspast@gmail.com. any story, short, long, you can have you in person into the studio here, or we'll read a louder story as we have before.
And if you've even found a really long, nice Reddit story that you think would make a good main episode, send all of that in as well. Like, send me memes, send me whatever you think you want me to say online. I'm your puppet. Let me just, you know, you tell me what to say, I'll say it. It's, I mean, within reason.
I mean, that's, you sound like you're spruiking an OnlyFans. Yeah, <that's right. laughs> just tell me what to do. You say it, I'll do it.
I don't have an OnlyFans, and I will never. Sorry. I am too shy. That is Ghost of Boyfriend's Past for the week. Thank you, Zane, for coming on, Mike, once more.
You're very welcome.
And thank you, Tom, for being an excellent host, as always. And I would just like to say, if you are ever put in a situation where you feel uncomfortable, as we were saying, tell someone about it. Tell anyone else about it. Don't tell the cops about it. Well, I mean, tell the cops about it, but, like, tell everyone about it. Be as loud as you can, because this shit thrives when people are quiet. Thanks, guys. And I just need to record a little warning, this story.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
There are known knowns, known unknowns, and unknown unknowns. But there are also unknown knowns. The Ancient and Esoteric Order of the Jackalope is a secret society devoted to unearthing and sharing this forgotten knowledge. Each episode, we take one of these strange stories and share it with you. No topic is off limits, except for the obvious. Available wherever fine podcasts are sold.